Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to the Lord's house. Welcome to St. Mark's. Tonight, we get to continue our journey through Lent under the theme, God's Son Goes Forth to War. Tonight in particular, we get to view Jesus as he squares off against the devil. And not just in one battle, but in multiple battles, in multiple skirmishes. And we're going to learn what his incredible victory over the devil means for you and for me and for our eternal future. The order of service that will serve as our guide this evening is printed in your service folder. We'll begin by singing our opening hymn, hymn number 109 in the red hymnals. Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, each day is a gift of your grace.
Your mercy is our gift.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm, and keep us from evil.
Better than life is your love.
Put joy in our hearts, and praise on our lips.
We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven,
I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp for our feet and a light to our path, for you are merciful and you love your whole creation. We, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Continue by reading responsibly as directed in your worship folder, our Passion reading. While they were eating, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Dear children, I am going to be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come.
Jesus replied, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Simon, Simon, pay attention. Satan has asked to have you all, so that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers.
Peter answered him, "Even if all fall away because of you, I will never fall away."
Jesus said to him, "Amen, I tell you, tonight before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times."
Jesus said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you."
And all the disciples said the same.
He said to them, "When I sent you out without money bag, traveler's bag, and sandals, did you lack anything?"
"Nothing," he said.
Then he told them, "But now, let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a traveler's bag. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me: he was counted with the transgressors. Indeed, what is written about me is going to have its fulfillment." He said,
"That is enough."
Then Jesus said to them, "This night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." When he reached the place, Jesus told his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray. Keep praying that you may not enter into temptation."
Then he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and began to be troubled and distressed.
He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch."
He withdrew from them as a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done."
When he rose from prayer, he went to the disciples, and found them sleeping as a result of sorrow.
He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Were you not strong enough to keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to pass from me unless I drink it, may your will be done."
An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him.
As he was in agony, he prayed more fervently.
His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground.
Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Look, my betrayer is near."
While Jesus was still speaking, suddenly Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd of lanterns, torches, swords, and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Judas was leading them.
Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who are you looking for?"
"I am he," Jesus told them.
Judas, the betrayer, was standing with them. When Jesus told them, "I am he," they backed away and fell to the ground.
Then Jesus asked them again, "Who are you looking for?" Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?"
Then they advanced, took hold of Jesus, and arrested him. When those who were around him saw what was about to happen, they said to him, "Lord, should you strike with the sword?"
Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus.
But Jesus responded, "Stop, no more of this. Put your sword back into its place, because all who take the sword will die by the sword. Do you not realize that I could call on my Father, and at once he would provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" Soldiers, their commander, and the Jewish guards arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas because he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews, "It is better that one man die for the people." This is the passion history of our Lord. Join me in speaking together the seasonal response. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. We'll hear an anthem from the choir. After that, we'll sing a hymn.
Just as I am, as I am the withered tree.
grace and peace are yours in the name of Jesus, our victorious warrior. The words for our meditation this evening are the words of Hebrews chapter 4, just a single verse, verse 15. I'd like to read that verse for you. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. These are God's words. Friends, wouldn't it be a whole lot easier to recognize the devil's lies and to withstand the devil's temptations if he were to approach us in the form of a talking snake? I mean, come on. We'd get that. We'd see that. We know for a fact that snakes are not in the habit of talking, so it wouldn't be too hard for our brains to process the fact that if this talking snake approached us and encouraged us to do this or that, well, it probably wouldn't be a very good idea to go along with it. I think we'd get that. I mean, how many people, how many of us here haven't thought to ourselves, you know, if it were me in the Garden of Eden, well, I think I probably would have fared a little bit better than Adam and Eve. Well, that's not a particularly good thing to think. We have page after page of God's written record, and you would think that with all the time that we've had to go through it, that we would know everything there is to know about recognizing the devil's lies and withstanding the devil's temptations. And yet, how many of us here would be willing to publish for everyone to see our win-loss record with the devil? Call them skirmishes, call them battles, call it war, but multiple times a day we square off with the devil. And our record, it's not pretty. For example, God, who cannot lie, God, who cannot lie, promises that he will absolutely cover your every spiritual and emotional and physical need. It's his promise on multiple pages in this book, in multiple areas. He cannot lie, and yet, have you ever found yourself worrying as if those promises don't even exist? Maybe in a recent virus scare? As if God was maybe lying when he told us those things? Or have you ever thought to yourself, you know, in order for things to be covered in my life, well, you know the rule, you got to do it yourself. And the talking snake wins again. Or how about those times when we try to hold God to a certain promise in a certain situation? Whatever it is that we've gotten ourselves into, whatever mess we've made for ourselves, we think, God, well, come on, why weren't you there when I was in this mess? Why didn't you help me out? As if God was to bail us out and to bless us no matter what situation we get ourselves into. You see, that's twisting God's promise. Now, I'm not saying we aren't to trust God in every situation, but we aren't to twist his promises as if he is obliged and obligated to help us out in exactly the way we think he should, in exactly the timing we think he should do it. You see, when that happens, the talking snake wins again. And then instead of being better than Adam and Eve, we act just like Adam and Eve. We swallow the devil's lies, hook, line, and sinker. God's ways are never going to get you what you want. If you're going to be waiting on God, well, you're going to be waiting forever. No, 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 no. Drink your problems away. Lie your way out of trouble. Complain until you get what you want. And the moment we start thinking, sounds pretty good, he's got us. The snake wins. Again and again and again and again, the snake wins. And if you're tempted to think that these skirmishes, these battles we have with the devil are no big deal, well, you're wrong. Because if he wins, we lose. And we could lose everything. We could lose our very own soul. Just ask Adam and Eve how it went after the snake won in the garden. But then we come across this beautiful passage. This beautiful passage that talks about a magnificent warrior who's filled with empathy and delivers victory. Listen again. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. It would be about the equivalent of walking from here to the coast, from here to the coast and back with a glass of water filled right up to the brim, maybe even a little bit of surface tension on it, from here to the coast without spilling a single drop. Actually, that doesn't even come close. Jesus' mission from the time of conception until the time of the cross was to live his entire life without sinning a single time. So that by the time he arrived at the cross, he would be able to offer the perfect sacrifice that God required. Not a single drop, not a single slip up. Otherwise, the whole plan does not succeed. Everybody's lost. Nobody's rescued. All of humanity perishes. Don't think for a moment that the devil wasn't fully aware of this plan. Don't think for a moment he didn't pull out every weapon and every trick and took on every opportunity he could to get this warrior to fall. You heard a few weeks ago on the first Sunday of Lent in the gospel reading one of the most famous battles between the devil and Jesus. Jesus was fasting in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And so there's the devil thinking, I'll get him. I'll get him to doubt God's promise that he'll take care of him, even out here starving in the desert. Stones to bread, starving man. Come on, this should be easy for someone like you. No. I'll live on every promise that comes from my Father's mouth. Not a single drop. Not a single slip up. Not even a momentary lapse in faith. Not even when he was beyond famished, this warrior Savior was not going to be sidetracked in delivering the perfect sacrifice that God required. So then the devil thinks, okay, I'll get him to hold God to a promise that he doesn't really offer. So Jesus, you want to live on every word that comes from your Father's mouth? Well, I've got one for you. Jump. Great man of God, jump from the temple. It says it right here in Psalm 91, his angels will catch you. No. You don't get to use Scripture to challenge God to bail you out in whatever you choose to do whenever you choose to do it. Not a single drop. Not a single sin. The Savior would not be sidetracked. Finally, the devil thinks, okay, I'll get him to forget about God and follow me. So the plan, Jesus, is that you're going to have to die. You're going to have to suffer all of hell for these despicable humans. Are you kidding me? Is that the best that God could come up with? That's almost as bad as don't eat the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. Come on, Jesus, just take a knee and worship me. No. I'll worship and serve my Father in heaven only. Not a single sin. The warrior Savior would not be sidetracked in delivering the perfect sacrifice that God required. And you know full well that was just one of the battles between Jesus and the devil, one of the skirmishes. There were multiple more, multiple days. And yet every time, again and again and again and again, Jesus wins. Every time. A perfect and holy sacrifice is what God required. And a perfect and holy sacrifice is exactly what God was going to get. Tonight, as we gather on this quiet Lenten evening, rising from the printed pages of this Bible is the voice of God, calling each and every one of us to consider our win-loss record as we have squared off with the devil. You know as well as I do, our losses stack high up into the sky, and every one of them spells out eternal death. And I know we've heard it before, but we need to be reminded of it. Eternally dying separated from God is immeasurably bad. But friends, when Pontius Pilate finally caved, and when he signed the death warrant so that the Jews could have Jesus executed by the Romans, God's will was carried out. The one, the only one who had ever withstood all of the devil's temptations was treated as the one who fell to every single one of them. The Holy One was crushed for our iniquities. He was pierced for our transgressions. And when that happened, Jesus won the greatest victory of all. With all of our sins paid for by Jesus' death, all of those accusations that the devil brings to you, those accusations that he throws in your face every single day, that you need to be punished because of your sinfulness, that you're never going to be close to God, well, because of Jesus' sacrifice, all of those accusations are now seen as what they really are. Lies. Big lies. The devil's head has been crushed. You don't have to listen to him anymore. He's a liar. Instead, believe this. Because of Jesus' death, and your sins are now removed, and because of his total and complete victory by rising from the grave, his victory is your victory. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. That's what it means to call him your Savior. That's what it means to have God's Son go to war for you. His victory is your victory. So tonight, when you're lying on your pillow and and you reflect on your win-loss record with the devil. Well, it takes your conscience about a half a second to come up with the answer to that one. But the God who loves you has a much better answer to give you than the one that your conscience tells you. On the day that you stand before your Father's throne, were you to stand before him and were he to ask you, and I'm going to use my name, you use yours, Dave, with all the years that I gave you on this earth, it was my will that you live on every one of my words, that you never test me or challenge me in any way by your behavior, and that you worship and serve me alone. So how did you do with that? How were you at withstanding the devil's temptations? Your answer and mine? Undefeated, Father. All wins, no losses, through Jesus Christ, my Lord. His smashing victory has been counted as mine. Friends, Jesus' smashing victory is your victory. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that peace will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated as we bring our gifts before our Lord. Please stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, you loved the world and gave your Son to liberate us from sin and death by his obedient death on the cross. Lord of the Church, we thank you for the treasure of the gospel. By your Spirit, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Strengthen our determination to do what pleases you,
Let us pray for those who carry a cross in the name of Christ and face ridicule and persecution for the sake of the kingdom. Missionaries and chaplains, young people who stand up for what is right in the face of pressure to do what is wrong, and all who pay a high price for their faith and their values as Christians.
By your Spirit, O Lord, grant them patience and endurance.
Help us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
You may be seated for our next hymn, hymn number 385. Once again for prayer. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn. Good evening once again. It is always a joy to worship with the good people of St. Mark's, an even more special joy to be able to deliver the good news to you. So thank you for the opportunity. I don't really get the opportunity to address all of you at once, but I'm going to take the opportunity and just say thank you once again for the generous support of both people and finances and prayers for Foundation and the singular mission that we both carry out only in different locations. So thank you, it is a joy to be partnered with the good people of St. Mark's in that mission. God bless you, I look forward to greeting each of you personally at the door.